Donald to Wright, beginning to visit Mr. Weaver this Tuesday, the 2nd of May, 72, a little after lunch. Channel 2 Wright, and beginning to visit Mr. Weaver this Tuesday, the 2nd of May, 72, a little bit after lunch. Channel 2 Wright, and beginning of the visit with Mr. Weaver this Tuesday, the 2nd of May, 72. Channel 2 Wright, Channel 2 Wright, and the beginning of the visit with Mr. Weaver this Tuesday, the 2nd of May, 72. Channel 2 Wright, and the beginning of the visit with Mr. Weaver this Tuesday after lunch, the 2nd of May, 72. On Old Jack Herring.
You know, I hadn't had any lunch, and I was just getting ready to eat some chocolate.
Will you go ahead, Alba?
So, we'll just let him get his clothes changed.
Where's the cow out over in the well in the field somewhere?
I don't know where she is. He's just, I don't think it's any good. Not a bit. Well, you know, a car will flood, won't it?
Yeah, it sure will.
You'll have to eat a little ice cream with me while I eat mine.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know you like chocolate ice cream.
Well, listen, I'm eating a little ice cream every
Mr.
day.
Mr. Weaver?
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you, I'm putting a slip of bitches on there.
Well,
just have
get ready, and then let's go on, and I can do this when I come back.
Well, I want to ask you.
Uh-huh.
I never heard anything like that before, what Jack Herring said this morning. About that dog.
Oh, well, Jack gets confused.
Well, let me tell you, he says, I don't know what he said. He says, you pick up a sack, and that dog knows that you're going to hunt something or other. What did he say?
Well, they train him to pick up a sack, an axe, and a light at night.
Yeah.
You go out in the woods, you know, and they'll treat possums and coons and things like that.
Yeah.
You can take my dog, like the dog I have, and blow a fox, blow the horn and train them with it. When you blow that horn, they know you're going to fox hunt.
Yes.
And Jack and those boys run that dog for anything. Not many dogs you can train that way.
Well, that's what I thought.
Well,
very few. Now, I had one. You know the dog I told you a story about? Yeah, but one after the other, probably won seven different counties.
Yeah.
That dog, I could pick up a sack and axe and walk off my house with a lantern in my hand.
Yeah.
And he'd treat as many possums as any old possum dog, but he didn't like possums.
Yeah.
And you turn right and next, and then I did that now. And they all said, my brother and brother-in-law said old Lee didn't treat no nine possums the night before.
Yeah.
And I'd started out that same night would lead with a sack and axe to go and catch me with brother possum. Told him, I said, he will. Already left the road, started him off. Well, I heard someone blowing horn down the road. I said, let's go back the road. That may be those fellas come and go hunting with me. Did it. We walked back out there, and it was. And had that there dog and won all these counties, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just blowed my horn and did old Lee come back. And we went back up to the house, and I told him, I said, it's 5 miles before we can strike a fog.
Let me tell you, Mr. Weaver, before you get off on that, I never heard Jack Herring talk before.
Well, he is talking.
Well, I don't care what it was. Uh-huh. I can't remember what he said, you see.
Uh-huh.
He said he picked up a sack, and that dog knew he was going out to get possums or whatever it was.
Well, they learned that.
And what else was it?
Let's see. He could say suey, and they'll go and catch a hog. Some dogs you can train to do that.
Yeah.
And you can say, call a cow and says, catch that cow or horse, and call his name. And dogs will say, once in a while you'll find one will do that.
Well,
most of them won't do that.
Well, but that was right at the start. He'd pick up something, you see, and light out, and that dog knew what they were going to get.
Yeah, it's the way they think.
But all I can remember is a sack. And then he'd pick up a gun, and the sack and the dog would do something else.
Well, I didn't hear all of what he told you there. I wasn't listening to all of it, see. But you train them that way. If you raise them in one man, one or two just hound them, see.
Oh,
well,
that has a lot to do
with it. Now, he was over there at Max's.
Yeah.
And Max's had borrowed that dog, or he let him lend it.
He let him take it. I remember when he let him take it. No, he was telling you the truth.
Yeah. And Max let that dog go in the hog pen with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that boar hog was just gentle coming up there.
Mm-hmm.
How'd Jack say that?
Well, he said about like that, coming up to him for it to be petted, you know. And the dog saw that, the hog bristled up, you know, and coming up, just, they'll do that. I've had them do me that way, you know. They know me, you see, and coming up.
They'll talk to you.
That's the way they're talking. But of course, I don't know what to, on just about what to do. They got to do it before I know what they mean by it. So that he went ahead, and the dog had been trained, you know, and they'd caught wild hogs with the dog, and when it had come, when it make anything like that, that dog run up there and protect its master.
Yeah.
There are some few dogs you can
do
that.
What would that dog do?
He'd catch that hog and hold it.
By the what?
Usually they get them by the air. And stay right beside of them, and the hog turns around, they turn around with it, hold it.
And what did Maxie say? He said, I didn't know this dog would...
Would catch? Run a hog or catch. He said, yes. He said he run a hog or cow or a horse, either one, catch him.
Yeah.
And all I've seen him turn, now, he'd go down and run rabbits down on the lake, and I'd hear that dog running. I know that he did do that and see him.
Yeah.
And just like he said, he told that over there.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen the dog do that myself.
Yeah. But then, if he wanted to run rabbits, he'd have a way of telling the dog he wanted him to run rabbits.
Well, I wasn't paying no attention to all of it, but you know, that's the way they do that, and they give them some kind of a signal,
yeah,
and talk to them, and just like these here, you know, these dogs are trained to bite. I went in that place to see about getting him up that leather shop the other day to get him to get this man to, I have a briefcase, and I wanted to keep it, see. I had it, ever since about 22 or 3, and it's a solid leather one, and then the thread has come loose on it, and I was aiming to carry it up there and get him to sort, but by the way, it's not, the leather's just about rotten. I don't think it paid me food.
Oh, that's a trouble.
And I wanted
to
keep it.
You've got to keep that leather oiled.
Yeah, and keep it treated. So that I hadn't used it in years, you know, and I just let it go, and it didn't get enough air and didn't get enough of nothing in use. We'd been using it, it had been better. So that this man's dog growled at me when I come in because we could smell dogs on me, and he didn't understand it, you know. And he's got him trained for that, you see. And Jack Sanders went in, I didn't pay no attention to him. Directly he looked at me and kind of gave a signal to you and the dog, you know. He spoke to him and said, what's the matter? Something wrong? Said the dog.
Yeah.
And he come around, walked around, got around on the other side of me between me and the door, and I was about half scared to death.
It's a little old bitty dog.
No, it's one of the big old German Shepherds trained. About a year and a half old, you know, just training him.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Wiggins.
Uh-huh.
I never realized before, you'd said, you know, sometimes Jack would call, sometimes it wouldn't. It depends
yeah.
on how these things
yeah.
were. Now, he told you today what's wrong. He said he had something in both knees.
Well, you see, and he
got shot up, and he got shot in the stomach.
Well, see, he's been, and his head, didn't you see his face in his shape? It used to not be that way. Jack is a pretty good-looking young man, you know. And you see a nose all round like that? And they took the skin off of him and put it up way on his head and around on him.
And he had a plate in his
head? I imagine he had.
He said this morning.
Yeah. And he probably had, I don't know, I don't remember all about that, you know, but I remember.
Well, he said as he left.
Yeah.
He says, I was in the Army 5 years, 4 months, and 4 days, and 19 hours. You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, just exactly. And he went off, and he don't like to talk about it. Well, I've heard him cry talking about being over there. it comes back on them to go over and where they kill people, you know, and shot. When he didn't even know them, I heard him cry one day and said, I didn't even want to know. I'd never done me a bit of harm in life, and I had to shoot him. Well, you see, that's hard on the boys coming back.
Yeah.
I've seen them, if there's any noise, they just jump this way and just, oh, they've been shell-shocked and all of that. And I've got a lot of sympathy for those boys that's been in service.
Well, now, you had said that, but you'd said it in general, and I never paid much attention to what you said about him. But the way he put it this morning, that he had had both knees.
And he's been in bad shape. Jack was a good boy and good working fella, and he used to work for me in the produce business, and he wouldn't beat you a penny, and he'd keep the book straight. That was before all he went in service. After he come back, he's always been different. And I don't pay no attention to it. Sometimes it's a disgusting, you know. I'll tell you, I don't usually tell these things. I don't like drinking too much. And when somebody's there and they come up with those beer cans drinking, it just tires me up. I don't like it. But I have to use my head and go ahead.
Yeah. Not much you can do about it.
No, you just got to go along. I've got to be nice to people. I can't go ahead and just fly up at every little thing. I know a lot of times I speak my last couple of years, and ever since I've had this operation in here, it's got me all upset, my nerves. I may jump up and say something that I don't realize what I'm saying. Don't mean anything by it. But I can't help it, you see. I thought that hole would go back up, but it ain't doing too good now. It's getting worse again.
She couldn't remember the names of those rabbits.
No, she couldn't. But
he could remember.
He could remember.
Everyone.
She says, who was behind this one? And he could remember. Do you remember their names?
You ought to see those rabbits. I don't remember half of them. I can't remember good that way anymore. I used to could, but I can't now. You can tell me anything, and you could ask me that question a long time. I wasn't as good as some of my cousins. I had some cousins that could meet you out here and not see you in 20 years and see you in New York not knowing anything about and even thought about you. He could walk up and take you with a hand and look at you a little bit and just talk, ask you a few questions out of the way, and he'd tell you where you seen you at the last time. I know I see. I was 17 years old, and I walked in his office in Birmingham when he was transferred back from the post office up there at Washington. And and I was up there in Alabama, and I'd been in Florida several years, and I hadn't seen him since I was 17 years old. And I walked in and I spoke to him, and I was just, it's all the same. He spoke to him and said, Weaver's my name. I took him by the hand, you know, and I didn't tell him who I was. Oh, yes, you didn't think I'd remember. I said, this is Wiley Mack Weaver. And I don't know how many years it's been since I'd seen him. And he was gray. He wasn't gray the last time I seen him. Seen him leaving, going back to Washington.
You got plenty of bread?
Yes, thank you. I got a loaf this morning. I had about a half a loaf.
Yeah, so you don't eat anymore?
Yeah, let me just really check on the
Let
cow.
Me tell you, Mr. Weaver, I was thinking about something else. Don't you remember? I said, yes, I know Maxie Mason.
Yeah,
he's still got land over there. And you know what he said?
Most of that on front is not his.
He didn't say that. You said that.
I did. Well,
he hooted.
Thought he meant it. When he hooted that, that wasn't his.
He hooted. He says he's got land now, Dad. You don't know just sideways. And then he lit in on him. He says, you got anything he says, you got to take it with a grain of salt. With a box of salt. You remember that?
Yeah.
Now, what's he talking about?
Well, he's just salt, you know, like his meaning, I reckon. I don't know. I reckon his meaning is that you couldn't depend on what Max has said. Well, that poor man's been cut all
down. Well, he's not talking about that cutting business. That's before he was cut he's talking about. He's talking about Maxie when he was hunting dogs.
Oh, yeah. Well, when he was talking about the hunting of dogs now.
But But he was said you had to take it with a box of salt. Anything he told you.
Yeah.
Now, what did he mean by
that? Well, I reckon that he might tell you something wrong.
Such as?
Yeah, you just read between lines.
Well,
anyway.
He don't mean he's lying to you. He mean he's
talks too much. I couldn't depend on what he said sometimes. That's where I took it. I may be wrong. That Maxie, you know, might...
Well, now, look who he included. He includes old Era Whittington.
Yeah.
And old G.P. Leitner.
No one G.P. was.
Yes, it was.
Well, I thought it was another Leitner.
And Lawrence.
Lawrence? Well, Lawrence
was in G.P. too.
He did.
Yes,
well,
he did.
Well, I wasn't paying no attention to it because I don't like hearing things like that too much.
I don't know why.
They were big
buddies, you know.
Well,
and I told that story on Jake. And, what's the grass thing?
Crabgrass.
Crabgrass is what I was trying to think of.
Crabgrass. Well, crabgrass hay is good.
Well, you see, I couldn't think about it. And he told me about that, and I didn't
know. I mean,
know.
Up in Alabama, I don't. Now in Florida, I don't think it's much.
Yeah, they do it down here, too.
They do?
Yes. And I didn't know how to take it, you see, whether he was imposing on me or telling me the truth. Well, it turned out he is telling me the truth, you see, but he did it with such a straight face, Mr. Weaver. And that's what I thought he meant about Maxie. He said they're all big buddies, you see.
Well, they like each other, but you know they'll tell things that, you know, a lot of times people tell doing things as a joke.
Sure.
And,
well, that's not against them.
No.
No.
Yeah.
These things are just a joke. Trying to find out something to sell. You can do this. You can. If you want to find out something about a fellow, how he feels about it, like in politics, you can go ahead and say a little, if you know, like I know you are, that you like a certain person and going to support him, I'll just take a politician, you see, like that. Well, you can say, if you are for them, if I want to find out to get the points of why that they are for you, I can play like I'm against that man and somebody else. And you go ahead and tell me all those good points about him or for that man, and you can find out by doing that.
Yeah.
Well, you take a person like Jackie, is at times he's different than others on account of his physical condition. I can't speak words sometimes, and it's kind of embarrassing. And,
it don't embarrass me.
Well, it does me, though. Because I can't help it. I wasn't that way before I met
you.
You're And so that I've done that and found out, you know, and, well, I was wanting to find out. I was for that man myself, and I was wanting to get the points, you know.
Yeah.
And what the other man, people thought about it.
Yeah.
And if you go ahead and... Yes, disagree with the fellow just a little on something that way. He'll tell you more than he will if you don't do that. You've done that, I imagine.
Yeah.
I've done.
Well, now look, Mr. Weaver, this woman he came to tell you about, is that one of his relatives, Mary or Marion?
Yeah, no, it's a fellow used to be was Huff. You remember Huff that drank so much and stayed up out on the streets after several years,
yeah.
And couldn't drive. And I drove him around, Buster drove him around, Jack drove him, helped him. Like he died here not long ago, and his wife, you know, we all knew him. You see, I'd go up there. He had to go every week to Gainesville. Huff, he didn't want his wife driving back at 9 o'clock, and sometimes she had to work till 9 o'clock. And be too late in the night to drive back, so something happened, you know. And he'd get something worse to drive him up there, and he couldn't drive. And we'd pick her up, you know, on that day. You see, he'd get someone to go with him to drive back till that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And his father-in-law was sick, you see, and he wasn't able to, and he couldn't go both times. Well, some of us would go overnight for him.
Jack
would go some, Buster would go some, and I'd go and drive. We never did charge him anything, but they always wanted to give me something, but I told them no. Well, they gave me a little clock for Christmas present, and they brought me a nice blanket He gave me for a Christmas present, you know, because I'd went and helped him out, you see. And Miss Merriman that he's speaking about down there, that's his wife, and she's been dead about about a month, I reckon, or two.
He has.
And so that I went down there. Well, I drove him down there when he moved down there to carry some stuff and have the lights cut on so they could move down there one day. I drove him down there one day.
Uh-huh.
And they're just as nice as they could be to people. They lived up here for about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Or maybe longer than that.
So now, what's Jack's connection with them?
Just friends. He and his wife and them. See, Hutt used, before he got to where he couldn't get around, they used to come back up and visit Jack and his wife.
Oh, they lived down there a good while, but then they'd come back up here?
Yeah, they'd come back up and visit Jack and his wife.
Mm-hmm. So they were just buddies?
They were friends.
Friends. And now she's not doing too good.
Well, his mother's not doing too good, and she's worrying about Hutt dying. That's what it is. And they go down there and see her, and so she can pass off the time. You know, someone died.
Hutt's mother?
No, Hutt himself is dead.
Yes.
And
who's doing the worrying?
Merriman.
Well, who's Merriman?
Hutt's wife.
Yes.
Oh, that's
yes.
Right. We didn't get
it.
Oh, you.
Yeah.
Hutt's wife.
Well,
you all didn't get that to catch
that? Yeah,
that
was the trouble.
Oh.
Merriman, she's doing the worrying.
Yeah, so see, her husband had just died, you know, and...
Well, you said it was his mother. His wife.
Well, Hutt's wife.
Yeah.
Get it right now. It's Hutt's wife.
I got it now.
And Merriman was a man and wife.
Some difference between mother and wife, you know.
Yeah, well, her mother's down there, and he said something about her mother not doing too good. Jack did.
Oh.
And you didn't catch it.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and you didn't catch that part.
But Hutt's wife's doing all right. It's Hutt's mother.
Merriman's mother.
Yeah.
Well, his wife is worried about Hutt dying.
Yeah.
Because they'd been, I don't know how long they've been living together, a long time.
How far down is that, Lord Allen?
Just below Leesburg.
Yeah.
Down at Turkey Lake. You know where Turkey Lake is?
I don't know where Leesburg is.
Well, it's down the road there, just on the left.
Yeah. Well, that's no distance. You ought
to
go down there.
You go down there on Sunday. They go down on Sunday, stay a while and come back.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going to go or not. It's only how I feel. I don't.
Well, now, let me tell you. What was it you was fixing for Maxie? That concrete?
Yeah, no, you're getting that mixed up.
What,
Maxie? No, it wasn't Maxie. That was, don't you remember? I'm thinking, see if you, I'm going to let you see if you can straighten it out.
Was Maxie's father?
No, what? Who was she was talking about over there? Another fella.
GP?
No, it wasn't GP.
Lawrence?
Yeah. It was Lawrence.
Oh, it was Lawrence.
It was Lawrence. I thought you got that.
Oh, yeah, Lawrence never did pay the first price on anything, did he?
He's close with it. He got his way. I don't know. Yeah, you see, I told him what I'd got for pouring it, you know, and he wanted me to come out there, and they'd started, you see, before the time come, and they had it all poured and setting up, nobody finishing it, and I started to leave. I knew what that meant. You know how if you don't finish cement just at the right time, you're in trouble. And that's when I worked there all day long, and I was so tired, and I couldn't work for 2 or 3 days after that.
Yeah.
See, cement don't work for me good no way. I never could use cement.
Oh, really?
And it messed
me
up.
Well, what was he doing?
Yeah. Don't you remember what I told you?
Putting cement down?
In hog stove.
Now, I miss that. Isn't that something I could not remember?
Oh,
in
he was going to put hogs on cement.
Yeah, and then he got these big pines, and he was talking that day, and everybody come up and says, how big is the people going to be see these big pines pulling China hogs coming in and out here and going down? I think to myself, you don't know what you're getting into. I've been in the hog business myself, and I never made nothing but one time on hogs.
Yeah.
Now, my father used to make a whole lot on hogs when they let them run out on the range. Had a lot of hogs and plenty of mash then and plenty of them to eat either on the woods. Take them up and fatten them on corn and put them to the market.
Well, Mr. Weaver, I thought Lawrence was too sharp to get caught on anything like that.
Well,
putting in money to raise hogs when he knew what
of course it's
happened.
Too much. The feed's too high.
Yeah.
Feed's too high. It's just like this about me, about dogs now. If I was able to tend to them and get and had a place to train them, I could make money.
Well, let me tell you,
when
did he do that? Back when they was, they was all interested in hogs in here.
Well, that hadn't been too awful long. That's been about, I reckon, 12, 15 years ago.
That all?
Yeah, something like that when that was. Now, they've had beans, they've been farmers, and they're good workers in it. Well, they, his father and mother, you know, they're all good workers, and they were the closest people I believe I ever seen with a penny. His father and mother was.
Yeah.
They got me casting beans to Gainesville to the market and open up that market. I'd been in the produce business before, you see. We went up there, and they kept on, and wanting to get a little nickel high on the hamper, you know. After a while, they made all the buyers mad, and they wouldn't buy them, and they didn't get hat. Then they wouldn't even take them at all. And I told them, I said, you know what, they went too far on that. I said, the market ain't that. Those fellas was just trying to help you out because you didn't have but a few. And they're just too close, you know. You can be too close, or you can throw your money away. Either one. And so I went ahead and went around some of the buyers, and I got them to give them as much as I could for them. They lost about 6 or 7 thousand in a hamper.
Well, now.
And I sold them. I tried to get them, but I didn't let it go.
That's right. You see what happened? Jack and Lawrence and Maxie and all that bunch, all of them run dogs.
Well, Jack and those boys didn't hunt too much. Their granddad, or someone gave him that dog when he was a puppy. And they lived in Georgia, and they moved as far as they bought it. I mean, they brought it down here. Jack and his boys didn't hunt just for that, but they hunted a whole lot when they were Georgia when they moved down there. Their dog was gone and trained then when they moved.
Well, he talked like he had handled a lot of dogs.
Well, he has handled lots of them of different, just some kinds, you know, but he didn't buy and sell dogs, never did have very many, about two at a time, as many as they ever had one time.
Oh, that's two more than I ever had.
Well, you think some people just can't understand the thoughts of a dog, you can't understand to hear a dog bark.
Well,
it worries people.
I would tell you. Now, Mr. Beaver, you see, what Jack said this morning, and this puts him in a whole new, he looks entirely different, you see. You see him back before the war, and before he
got all that other stuff,
you see.
Yeah.
And before he got them plates and all in his head. And there him and Maxie just had dogs, and he went out there, you see. And him and old Lawrence had business together, whatever it was.
Well, they played together. I reckon they went to school together, you know, all back at that time.
Yes.
See, and they'd been around together.
Yeah.
Well, you take a fellow like Jack is, he and him drinking, they'll get mixed up and he is talking too.
You could see this, this was way back before that. He was talking about
before. When he played with him and all like that, that was before he got hurt and everything.
Sure.
That was back when they were growing up.
Yes.
And
but they're all young then.
Yeah, all of them was. And I don't know, they may have had business dealing since then. I don't know.
But now when you talk about lines, that was years ago.
Wasn't charging Lawrence near what I would have because I was out that way in the bean field one day and I was hauling beans right close to his place for a fellow, you know, getting out of the field for him and come up a shower of rain with Before I could get out, you know, I got stuck in there. And he came over there and pulled me out, Lawrence did. I said, how much owe you, Lawrence? He wouldn't charge me a penny.
He didn't.
He didn't charge me a penny for it.
He didn't.
No, sir. And I thought, too, he had charged me.
You but was almost certain he'd charge you.
But he didn't. You'd have thought if you'd been knowing right smart about him, how close he is, you'd have thought he'd charge me. He wouldn't let me pay him. I said, I'll pull out the money. I said, here, I know it's worth a dollar to cut, crank up the tractor and come out here and pull me out. No, he said. He says, I might need you to help me.
Is that right?
Well, I said, well, if you get caught in the tide, I'll help you.
Well, now, was that back before the concrete?
Yeah, and I was going to, I knocked off about 6 cents an hour from what I charged for it on account he'd pull me, come out there and lean for you and wouldn't charge me. But he'd use me down to a dollar. I come down to a dollar and a half an hour and he'd use me down to a dollar.
He did.
I cast him as well. I said, I might be out here again. I said, if I asked him, he'd hit me again. I said, that's all right, Lawrence. And I knew he wasn't going to make nothing much on the hogs, figured he wouldn't. And I had to charge him anything.
Yeah.
On that account, because I'd fight
him.
How
did he get into that, Mr. Weaver?
I don't know. He just got...
Well, he's a sharp, quick, shrewd dealer, you know.
He's pretty shrewd, all right.
But he got caught.
Well, if you get in it at the wrong time, now if you hit it just exactly the right time, you're all right. It's just like growing beans. You can grow a good crop of beans here, you'll make several $1,000. Maybe next year you lose that much.
Is Maxie ever doing any trapping out there on his place?
Yeah, he trapped some, not much. He trapped some, caught furs. He sold them to me when I was in the fur business. And he'd bring them in all around. I used to buy lots of furs during just 90 days. You see.
Well, now Maxie, you know, I get the picture that Maxie was a right outstanding fellow out there in his community.
Well, Maxie always was all right to me and treated me all right. I sold when I was selling cars one time. I sold him. He sold his father. His father was close, you know. And the car that I was getting wasn't any good much, you know, and I couldn't pay too much for it, drive too much for it. I think about $50-$60. Well, Max said one of his sisters had some money and they was wanting a new car, and I didn't know where I could get carry the car in or not. He wanted $90 or $100 for that on a trade-in. Well, it didn't sell about $350, and I couldn't deal that much because there's just a new wheel on it and a tire too, and a little that we could get anything out of. And I told him about $35 all I could allow on that car on a trade-in, you know. So Max and his sister got together and said, "You go ahead, and we'll give you $60." You see. And go ahead and trade with them. We paid, and they paid $30 a piece. Only said, we own a new car. I said, Daddy don't know. He was in bad shape. And they both of them gave me just what they said. The father went ahead and traded, went in, and I had to carry the money in the down payment on it.
Do you remember the car he got?
It's a T model.
With two seats?
Yeah, it's a touring car.
With it open?
Open top.
Yeah. I saw a picture of him.
With that?
Standing next to it. And it looked like it was brand new. And he had them long mustaches.
And Max's did?
Max's daddy.
Oh, Max's daddy, yeah. Well, I don't know where that was. Now, that may have been the picture of the car that I got from him, or a picture, it was an old car I got from him. But I was trading him a 33 or 34 was the T model when I traded with him. And
34 or 5?
Yeah. I mean 24 or 5 T model.
Yeah.
I meant to say that. I was about to get mixed up.
Well, now you know his sister Lois.
Yeah. Well, she's the one that helped pay, and him was the one paid.
And what's the other sister out there?
I don't remember the others. He had about 3, 4, 5 sisters.
Ms. Bell.
Yeah, she had Ms. Bell and Ms. Gladman. I don't remember just how many. There's,
yeah, a whole bunch of them.
There's about 4 or 5, I know, that maybe more than that. And there's several boys, too. But I don't remember all of them's names. Let's see.
Do you remember when Maxie cut his house down from 2 stories to 1?
I don't know. See, me, like, I don't remember where I'd been by there until I went by there here not too long ago.
Oh, really?
I don't believe I'd seen it. It was a 2-story building. I believe I'd been out that road, and I heard he's sick and put a bad shape, and I was going to Fleming, and I just drove down and went out that way. And,
yeah.
And he'd been in the hospital in his bad shape. I was surprised. I wouldn't recognize him if I'd seen him out away from there after he had been operated on. See, he has cancer all up in here.
Yeah.
It's all been cut out.
Yeah, but he's healthy.
Yeah, but I didn't worry much. He can't. He, I won't stay much around. Cause he won't go and lie
down.
He
can't hear.
He can't hear.
He don't have a good head.
He can't hear good. His daddy couldn't hear, and his sisters couldn't hear good. One of them.
Just one in the family, didn't
it? Yeah. There's 3 or 4 of them couldn't hear good. But they're all nice to me. Every one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, his brother. Now he had a brother just about as close as Ron Gardner.
Joe.
Henry.
Well, did Henry own land out there right next to him?
No, he owned back over there close to where Harvard Gladden up on the hill from Zetrow, back east to Zetrow, towards McIntosh.
Yeah.
He owned land there. That's where Henry lived up there.
I see.
Well, he was close. Well, that's all right, by the way. It's better to be close than this to not have nothing. Because I haven't been close enough myself where I could have. I could have been in better shape. I wouldn't be down on the hog now.
people.
If I'd have took care of my money a little better than I did. But I'll tell you this, I'll never figure if I give somebody sick or hungry or something to eat, I'll never figure I've ever lost any of that.
Well, now, these people out there, Miss Weaver, you see, we talk about them being close, you know, and taking what they say with a box of salt, but they were some of the nicest people in this whole country.
They were nice people. They were good people out in there. And all those people, they were just as nice. And if you'd went out back in those days, you know, if you'd went out there and got stuck, they'd all come help you out and wouldn't charge you a penny.
Oh, no.
Anything like that. I know one night, Dr. Roseburg, when the first I'd been here, but about a year, a little over, I just got a new T model. So that Dr. Roseburg had an Essex. And there's 5 of them at one time with the flu in that house, in bad shape. And Dr. Roseburg asked me, he says, I don't believe I can get out to Mr. Mixon, and I've got to go back out there tonight. He said, will you run me out there? So you believe you can make it to your T model, but I can't for my Essex. You know, it's low on the ground. He says, now the one place just before we get to the house, but says there'll be plenty there if we get stuck. And we got that as the worst looking place you ever tried to go in, you know. And he says, now don't be afraid. Says, go ahead on through there. If you get stuck, they'll come get us out. So I went on through in there, got through and didn't get stuck. When I came back out, and there's places where everybody nearly been, you get stuck, and I haven't tried to stay out, I haven't cut around and make new ruts. And I didn't know I was going to get through or not, but I had to. I couldn't turn around. We went out there, and that was before I sold him the car. And you know, Mr. Mixon didn't want to buy no car, but when they found out I was selling cars, and he, and see, I was barbering too at that time. He called me the little barber. Mr. Wayne weighed over 200 pounds. They called him the big barber, me the little barber. So that he'd always ask about the little barber after that, and they offered to pay me for bringing Dr. Roseburg. And he asked, and I said, Dr. Roseburg, I don't charge sick people like that for having them out. I says, I don't do that. And I says, people wouldn't charge me, and I says, they wouldn't charge me, and I can't afford to take anything. And then after that's when I sold him the car.
But that was a fine community, Mr. Weaver.
Well, you take Zethro out of nice people, and those liners are good people.
Well, now, Max Mixon, and then
over
there, I don't know what kin they were, old man Ben Mixon and Miss Lily. I don't know whether they're kin or not. They were Mixons, too.
Well, that was Ben Mixon was their father.
Old man Ben?
I think that's right.
And Miss Lily?
I think that's right. I think that was his, Max's father and mother. I may be wrong. Maybe one of the older boys. Let's see, there's about five or six boys of them, too.
Well, now you got, let me see. Now, old man Ben's children, there's Sybil married Willie Chitty, and Miles Mixon out there, and Ike Mixon. They all Ben's children.
Yeah, Miles. See, ain't Miles dead?
No, I just saw him last week. He's live and kicking. He had that service at Old Williston on the same corner for 19
Miles,
years.
Miles is different. Yeah, Miles Mixon. That was the one I was thinking of. Let's see.
Now, you see, he's about my age.
Well, I believe you may be talking about your age.
Yeah.
Yeah, Miles Mixon is about
your age. Oh,
he's younger than I am, I guess. He's younger than you are. Yeah, I was getting mixed up with another one that died. It was Ben Mixon's, I believe it was.
Yeah.
I can't remember all those fellas' names. It's been so long since I was.
Ben and Miss Lily.
Ben.
I thought Max's daddy was different. But you see, I don't know.
Well, I may be wrong, but I think Max, all of those boys that you're talking about, well, now listen, Ben, Miles Mixon, now the younger, he's one of Ben Mixon was, I think he was old, or the Max's and all of them's daddy, that, about 10 or 12 children, and he was the daddy, old man Ben Mixon, they called him. I think that, and I think that's the one. Now, then those other ones and those girls, I don't remember all their names.
Yeah.
Not near all of them.
But that's old man Ben's children. I know that.
Not Ben's children?
Oh, they are.
Yeah, those are.
Sybil and.
Yeah, those is.
Miles and all them over there. But now, I don't know how Maxie fits in.
Well, Maxie was Ben's youngest boy. If I ain't mistaken.
Oh, yeah.
I may have got mixed up in it, but I think, and I know I furnished iced potatoes for one of the Mixons out there to grow potatoes for me, and I was in the produce business out there. We had bought several bags, and somebody asked me if I knew how my potatoes were coming up out there. I said, I don't know. I said, I got Mr. Mixon looking after it. And when they got to where they could dig, some of them, he came in town. They asked
me. Well, now, all these fellas knew about dogs. Maxie did, and Lyon.
Well, they all hunted some. They used to hunt some. I reckon more. They used to go deer hunting. That's what Maxie kept this dog for us, more to deer hunt with. Did he got some Jack?
Yeah.
He'd get a good combination
dog. Yeah.
Well,
let's go out there. I'm gonna tell you, all I need is just a little advice out there, Mr.
Okay.
Let me get my.
I don't know if I can give you it or not. I think sometimes I need advice or more than I need to try to give any.
Channel 2 right, and beginning of the visit, end of the visit, Mr. Weaver, this Tuesday after lunch, the 2nd of May, 72. This Tuesday. 2nd of May, 72, Channel 2, right. The end of visit, Mr. Weaver, this Tuesday, the 2nd after lunch, the Tuesday, the 2nd of May, 72, Channel 2, right, and the end of Brown 760. The end of visit with Mr. Weaver, this Tuesday, the 2nd of May, 72.